If you're thinking about getting a dog, how do you know what breed is best for your household and circumstances? Do you want bouncy and energetic, or gentle and slow? Do you want a smart dog who can be trained to do tricks, or more of a solid companion-type pooch? Here to help with all the questions that arise is Dr. Kat Littlewood, Massey University lecturer in animal welfare at the School of Veterinary Science. Lots of questions from you already. Thank you. Text them in 2101 or email us 19in@rnz.co.nz. Kia ora, Kat.
Morena, lovely to be here.
Yeah, great to have you with us. Thank you. Look, it's a big decision, isn't it? Pets for families, but particularly dogs. Run us through some of the basic things you need to think about.
I just want to, because of the time of year that we're at, I just want to have a quick word about Christmas and getting a dog for Christmas, if that's all right. I know that we love to get people gifts and to share the joy of Christmas, and making people smile and giving them something is really awesome. And I'm incredibly passionate about people having animals in their lives. But I just want to make a plug for the fact that animals are for life, not just for Christmas. And it is a really big decision. So we try not to think about gifting animals. We really want you to make a good, solid choice in the animals that you bring into your lives. Because these animals, you know, they live quite a long time. Cats can live up to 20 years. We've got smaller dogs that can live for 15 to 18 years. So I just really encourage anyone that's considering gifting an animal for Christmas to maybe reconsider that approach. And go and look for these animals together so that you can really have a good think about that.
It's a mindful process. It's an actively engaged process.
Yeah.
And so
it is.
That you've made the decision that it's time for you, or for the for your family, for the home to have a pet. You're going for the dog. Straight off the bat, again, what are some of the obvious things to think about when it comes to the basics of what a dog needs and what some breeds in particular are going to need?
Yeah, so we want to encourage you to consider yourself as well as the animal, so your needs as well as the animal's needs. So what do you want in a dog? Do you want a dog that's just going to, you know, sit around and not do too much? Do you want a dog to go for a run with you? Do you have a home that suits a dog? Do you have sturdy fences? Or maybe you have a park nearby? Do you own the property that you're living on? Will you always have that home? Or will you move a lot? We need to think about whether you're going to travel as well. And also, a really important one, particularly around this time of year, is who you're getting the animal for. So a lot of people get animals for their kids, but will the kids still be home and interested in that animal in about 5 years' time, for example? These are all kind of things that we really want you to think about before and during that purchasing.
Let's talk about breed and what you're going to get and what you need to think about when it in terms of it fitting into lifestyle again and into what's going to work for you.
Cool. So research the type of dog you like. Check what they have in terms of health and welfare issues. We know there are certain dogs that are predisposed to some health issues. And we know there are certain dog breeds that might have certain predispositions to act in certain ways. But we always have to remember that we don't want to assume certain things about certain breeds. Breeds mean that they might have a more reason to act in that way, but we always have to remember that dogs are individuals. And there are a lot of variation within breeds, and there can be as much within the breed as between breeds in their behavior. You know, we have the saying that genes set the scene, but we know that the environment, or how we actually bring them up and what we do with them once they're in our lives, actually contributes as much, if not more, to their behavior than what their genes might tell us about how they kind of should behave.
That's interesting, because some people will be thinking about whether they go to the SPCA and perhaps get a dog that's looking for a home, which is a wonderful thing to do. But do you need to again, be very informed and decide whether this is going to work for you?
Yeah. So I guess if it's an adult dog, you want to ask, you know, what have they been up to? What's their past life been like? If it's a younger dog, there may not be as much history there. So you'd be thinking about, you know, where that dog's come from, what situation they grew up in. You might want to ask about the parents of that puppy. So it's really important to ask all of these questions before you're thinking about a dog.
One question is, should the inexperienced adopt a rescue dog? Is it better to be an experienced dog owner?
Think so, no. It depends on the type of rescue dog, because we have rescue dogs that kind of sit into rescue dogs are kind of a big category of animals. So we can have anything from puppies to animals that have been potentially living in a less than good situation. So a rescue dog can be anything in that kind of spectrum of care. Potentially an animal that might have some behavioural issues or that might be struggling a little bit to live in as a companion might not be a good dog for someone as their first dog. But that's not to say that all rescue dogs fit into that box.
Exercise, all dogs need them, but do some need much more exercise? And is this something to think about when it comes to your day and the day of the household?
Absolutely, right. I mean, I personally don't have a dog, and that is because I don't have time to exercise a dog. And that's something that we all need to think about. There are certain dog breeds that might be predisposed to not needing as much exercise, and then there are some that need a lot of exercise. So we definitely want people to really think about getting some of the working type breeds of dogs. So border collies, for example, they do tend to need a little bit more exercise than some of the other dogs. So those are some considerations we might have with those.
There are some practicalities as well, including who else is in the household already. Here's a question. My son's girlfriend has moved in with him and his cat, a 2-year-old rescue. Her dog is a rambunctious 3-year-old. They had an unexpected and unfortunate first meeting. The animals, this is. I've never had a dog, so not sure how they should proceed. The four of them will be living in a sleep out bedroom and small bathroom. We're planning to build a shed and a run for the dog, but they aim to be able to have them share a room comfortably. Any advice, please? Gosh, that's
That
a lot of
is a tricky
creatures getting to know each
situation.
other at once.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's a really sudden change. So that, you know, those dogs and that cat will be used to those separate environments. And I guess the real tip here is just slow and steady, and make every kind of opportunity that you have with them a positive opportunity. Provide opportunities for them to not be together. So for the cat, for example, you're providing spaces that are up high to get away from the dog. Sometimes cats will act out if they can't get away from a situation. But it's really them just saying, "I want to get away." And the dogs and cats communicate in quite different ways. So the dogs might be trying to tell the cat something that they just can't interpret. So we need to kind of help with that.
This is a really good question. How expensive are dogs? And to add to it, cats, do some people really underestimate it?
Yeah, that can be. Yeah, it really does depend on the dog. So there's lots of different fees involved with owning a dog. There's the purchase price if you are going to buy a dog rather than adopt one. That can be relatively expensive. We also definitely recommend insurance for dogs, so pet insurance. That really helps if there's a decision that needs to be made further on, you know, in terms of doing veterinary procedures. Not having to make that decision based on money is really, really good. There's pet insurance, registration with the council, so all dogs in New Zealand have to be registered. There's vet bills, routine vet bills, and then if we're not doing insurance, we do want to make sure we've got some money aside in case we have anything go wrong with our animals. Because obviously, you know, veterinary care in New Zealand is not subsidised by the government. So when we get a veterinary bill through, it is actually the full price of things. So that's how much it would have cost if for human care, but we don't have that government subsidy,
We don't have that
unfortunately.
experience. You need to factor that in. Yeah. Some observations, and then
Yeah.
I've got plenty more questions. We're owners of too many Dachshunds. Everyone says how cute. Yes, they are, but they're also high maintenance and need constant work, walking, discipline, and training. Also have spinal issues. Cute is not a reason to get a dog. It's a very good point. Thank you. And actually, Agree says this one. It's a huge responsibility. I have a Dachshund, essential to research. My dog I took a year off to bring him up. He's a diamond. Dogs are very expensive. Another question for you. Oh, where is it just gone? Sorry, they're coming in so thick and fast. Let's do this one. Which dog breeds cope best with spending some time alone? For example, if you have to be in the office a few days each week. Good question.
That is a great question. I don't think there are any breed-specific traits for coping better alone. I mean, all dogs do love to have us around. You know, dogs have been domesticated to be our friends, to be our companions, so they do love companionship. The better thing here is to think about how we might provide for that, for those needs for the animal. So if we're going to get one dog, maybe think about getting a second dog to be at home with that dog. Or there's really cool things like puppy schools that we can put them in, which is obviously another expense we'd have to think about before we get a dog. So we can put them in those daycares during the days while we're at work. But to my knowledge, there isn't a particular breed that does better with being home alone. It is a constant concern for us in the welfare space because dogs do love us, and that's why we get them, because they love us.
Another good question here. Aside from size and personality, are there any benefits in getting a crossbred versus a purebred dog, e.g. health and longevity?
It honestly depends on the dog and the breed. So there are differences between purebred and pedigree dogs. So pedigree dogs are those that come through the Kennel Club, or it's called Dogs New Zealand now. And the Dogs New Zealand, for a lot of the breeds that come through that way, have a lot of good testing that they do. So they do health testing on their dogs. Purebreds, however, they may not have had those health tests done on them. And then there is the idea that if you've got a crossbreed, then maybe they don't have as many of those issues that some of those purebreds might get. But sometimes we accidentally end up with having a crossbreed that has the issues from all the different breeds that make it up. So we don't always know that crossbreeding gets rid of some of those problems.
One more here. Gosh, sorry, I'm just struggling to read off the screen. I spotted it. Yes. Could your guest touch on the dangers of over-exercising pups and young dogs, long runs, having them jump down off high forwards, etc.? I've seen a lot of dogs with painful lifelong damage through well-meaning but ignorant owners. It's really interesting. Could you comment?
Yeah, so we know that for as puppies, that dogs, their bones take a little while to form. So as puppies, they've still got really soft, squishy bits in their bones. So we need to be really careful about not being too active with them. This is particularly important for our larger breed dogs. So their bones don't stop forming until they're quite old, actually. So we don't want to do anything really aggressive with them and jumping down, doing lots of bouncing and jumping, because their bones are still not quite formed, right? So we want to make sure that they form well and they form properly. And doing these little kind of micro aggressive things with their bones can be harmful.
We talked about the need for your pet to get on with the existing animal members of the house, but what to think about perhaps if you have young children? Of course, this can become the joy of their lives, but what should you be thinking about again in selecting your dog?
Selecting dogs for children is a really kind of contentious thing. So we often think that there's certain breeds of dogs that are really good with children, and that's not necessarily the case. So I will always say that children should never be left to interact with any dogs without adult supervision. It doesn't matter if we have a particular breed that should be friendly, if they've been around children their whole lives, they've always been lovely with them in the past. Children are unpredictable, right? And they're not able to read these really subtle messages that dogs might be trying to send them. It's not their fault. They're just kids. So most dogs will try really hard not to be aggressive. They send us messages, but some of those messages are quite subtle. And plenty of adults actually miss out on some of these messages. So I think that if we are going to have dogs and kids together, we always want to keep them supervised anyway.
really wise. I mean, we talk about training dogs, but we actually need to train ourselves and our household as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just very, very quickly before I let you go, this is, I'm sorry, Kat, this one's very specific, but we'll help these people out if you wouldn't mind.
Okay.
Do Swedish Valhunds have any congenital problems or anything in particular to look out for in that breed? Shane from Hastings is obviously investigating that.
Unfortunately, I don't know the answer to that question off the top of my head. That's not something that's right in the immediate front of my brain. But absolutely talk to your veterinarian about that. So veterinarians are always keen to have discussions before you're even thinking about getting a dog, about appropriate dogs and what works with your life. Also, some really good resources that that we can look into is RSPCA UK. Have some really cool resources on what you might want to look at when you're thinking about choosing a dog. They have 40 plus questions that you should ask yourself and or ask the breeder about that particular dog. So a really good place to look is RSPCA UK website for that.
Wonderful, Kat. Thank you so much for that time. Thank you. Dr. Kat Littlewood is Massey University Lecturer in Animal Welfare at the School of Veterinary Science.